you can only ever get away with... I mean, we are in a Christian women's conference and sexy's been used a little bit. It's okay to be sexy, girls. Oh, wow. What an amazing privilege to just share with you. I'm not going to take up a lot of your time this morning. I usually do, but not this morning. I just want it to be short, sharp, concise, and I just pray that it comes home like an arrow and shoots directly into your heart, and that you can take something away with you that you can carry and share with those that are to come after you. Those that are around you now, but those that are going to come after you. And you would have noticed that on your seats, we've gifted you a beautiful journal. And there's a beautiful piece that's been written there. It's actually written by Joanna, Legacy, what legacy means. And this, she wrote at early hours one morning, just as she was pondering on the word legacy and what it means. And so I do want to read it to you, but then I just want to pick up from the Word of God. And it says this, legacy. As the ground shook and the earth went dark, as the veil was torn and Christ breathed his last, the greatest legacy came forth. It was not a legacy for his world to remember, but it was one for the world to encounter. As the Father's will was fulfilled, freedom was birthed. Death could not hold him. Sin was defeated. Victorious he rose. A love that is boundless, unchanging, an everlasting victory. Salvation is our inheritance. Eternal is his legacy. Pick up the mantle. Place it upon yourself. His legacy is for you and for I. Amen. His legacy is for you and for I. And, you know, we could have, one of the ladies that was helping us set up, she said, you need to put the notebooks out because, you know, people will come to conference and have nothing to write on. I said, that's not the purpose of this notebook. This is a journal. It's a little bit different. It's not for you to take notes for today, but it's for you to write the testimonies, the goodness of God, what he's done in your life and what he's going to do. I want you to write and keep a journal so that the generations to come, those children that are following after you, can read your stories of the greatness of God. You know, we are commanded, we are encouraged to hand down from one generation to the next. If you know me, you know that I'm about passing down from one generation to the next. I don't want my children to forget the goodness of God. I don't want my children or my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren to forget what God did in this nonna, where this new life in Jesus started right here in this generation. I'm the first and I don't want them to forget that. I don't want them to forget what God has done. I don't want them to forget that there is healing in the name of Jesus. And I want to declare and record when God has come and touched my life and healed me. You see, we don't want them to forget. We want them to be able to remember and to pass it on to the generation. So when they're going through a struggle and they believe and they need, have faith that God can heal, they can read that years ago God did that. It's not just a story in the Bible, because you know a lot of us don't take those stories as faith stories. Sometimes we just look at them as stories, but they're far beyond that. They're living and they're real. It's a living word. It's the testimony of someone who went before us. And so I want us to pick that up. And a legacy isn't about, you know, we say that legacy, 10 years we've run this conference, it's not about how many years. It's about the lives that have been impacted. What we've imparted over those 10 years, that's what legacy is to me. It's not about the years. You know, I've lived over 50 years. That's a long time when you say it out loud. But, you know, it's not about that. It's about what impact. And, you know, I have shared about this gorgeous lady in the past at our conference, and I guess every time conference comes around, she comes to my mind because she was a gorgeous servant in the house. And we lost her to a car accident only 4 days after our conference, about 7 years ago now. But she only knew Jesus for 5 years, and what she did in 5 years impacted lives that has left a legacy. that has left a legacy, and others know about him because of the lives she impacted, because she was unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. She was so in awe and in love with her Saviour. And I remember I'd go and I'd sit in the food ministry because that's what she used to run, and I'd sit there and she'd say, Jesus, I just keep saying to Jesus, beam me up, Lord, I'm ready to come home when you are, Jesus. And in those 5 years, she did prison ministry. She went in, she would go in weekly. She affected people in her workplace. She used to work at the post office. And you know, her story, you've probably all heard it before, but you know, her story will be told. It will be told because she left a legacy. She impacted people. And your story will be told. It will be told because you're impacting women, children, men in your world. You're impacting people in your world and affecting them for good and for God. And that's what we're called to do, is to impact them. And you know, I'm challenged by the scripture. We actually read the scripture every time we dedicate a baby to the Lord in this house. And we read from Deuteronomy. Can I read it to you? Is that okay? Deuteronomy 6. Someone's phone is buzzing because that's happening. Probably mine. And it reads this. I have to tell you, these aren't my glasses. They're actually a $2 pair from the $2 shop because I broke my glasses. And so they're sort of plastic. Everyone says they're actually suit me, but I can't see really well out of them. So I try my best. So if I read something wrong, someone shout out and correct me. It's all good. So it says this. There it goes again. Now this is the instruction, the laws and the precepts which the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land to which you go to possess it, that you may reverently fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's sons, and keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and be watchful to do them, that it may be well with you, and that you may increase exceedingly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, the Lord, the only Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and heart and with your entire being and with all your might. And these words which I'm commanding you this day shall be first in your own minds and in your hearts. You shall whet them and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you with great and godly cities which you did not build, and the houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and cisterns hewn out which you did not hew, and vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and swear by his name and presence. You shall not go after other gods, any of the gods of the people who are around about you, for the Lord your God in the midst of you is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you and he destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt or try the Lord your God as you tempted and tried him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his exhortations and his statutes and which he commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you and that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to give your fathers. You see, we need to remember his word and we need to pass that down to our children, to the generations to come. But you also need to weave your stories, your testimonies into that. You need to weave that in so the word becomes alive to those generations that are going to come after us. Just go with me quickly to Psalm 78:4. And it says this, "We will not hide them from their children, but we will tell to the generations to come the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord and in his might and the wonderful works that he has performed." Don't hide, don't forget what God has done for you and what he's going to do for you, even in your rough times. Can I just encourage us? This is something that I have found helpful for me in my journey. That in my rough times, I'll actually write an affirmation as though it's already done. Write it as though it's done. If you are believing for God to do something, don't write, "Thank you, God, that I'm waiting for my healing." Write, "Thank you, Lord, that you healed me of this," and put a date to it. Put a date to it. Can I tell you, there is power in that. There is power in that. Whatever you are believing for, write it as though it's done. And if you're believing for God to turn a situation around, let's say you're planning for the next day and you are headed out to witness or to speak to someone about Jesus and they don't know him yet, write their name down. Write it down as though they've, "Thank you, Lord, for this person. They received Jesus on this date." You're saying, "Tony, that's a bit bold." Do it. Absolutely do it. And you watch God breathe on what you've written. He will breathe on that. I just want to tell you quickly a story. Bob and I, Bob actually registered up on the Gold Coast a few weeks ago, and he went and he sat in on a business seminar, and you could take your partners, and I really didn't want to be there. It's like, no. But I went. It's a good wife. I did a bit of business on my own while I was there. I caught up and had a meeting, and then I went into the meeting late. But in this meeting, you were allocated a group of people that you sat with, and they became your workshop group for the weekend. And so we sat with them, and at the end of the weekend, they all decided that we should stay in touch. And there was quite a few of them from Melbourne. And so just 2 weeks ago, we were supposed to get together and have dinner and have a bit of a chat about what we learned. And so we were headed over, and I sent a text to say, "Traffic's really bad. We'll be there shortly." And the response came back, "That's fine. No one else is coming. Everyone has the flu." Now, I was fine by that stage. I got the flu the week later. But that's fine. When you get here is fine. So we walked in. Trying to get into this apartment was like Fort Knox. There were buzzers. And anyway, we finally got in and we sat down and just started chatting with the couple. And they knew that we were pastors, but we hadn't shared the gospel with them at that stage. So anyway, as we sat down at their table, all of a sudden, the man of the house starts to just, can I say this, vomit all his sin. Like just started. And the lady turns around and says, "Do you really want to do that?" And he said, "I can't help it." He said, "I feel like I have to confess." And we just listened. And we just listened. And we just listened. And this went on for about an hour. And we listened. And then at the end, Bob turned around and he called him by his name and he said, "You know, over 25 years ago, we sat at a dinner table just like this. And we had dinner and we were asked the question, 'If you died tonight, do you know where you're going?'" And I turned around and I said, "Well, I certainly didn't know where I was going. I thought I knew where I was going, but I didn't know where I was going." And he said, "No." He said, "No, I don't." He said, "I'd like to think I'm a good person, but after everything I've just said, Let me tell you, some of the stuff would make your hair curl. But we sat like with poker face, trying to look like it was all cool. I've heard this before. And so Bob invited them and said, would you like to give your life to Jesus tonight? And with tears streaming down their face and our faces, we led them to Jesus. You see, that's normal. That should be our normal. It shouldn't be a surprise because we carry the presence of God. So when people come in contact, when they encounter the presence of God, that should be normal. And yet, often we're surprised. You know, we had another beautiful testimony. I got a beautiful text Sunday afternoon. I got up here. I just did what I do. And this isn't about me. Please, that's not where I'm going with this. I'm just saying us carrying his presence should be normal. And so we were in transition time and we received the offering, and I just really felt on my heart to pray for the sick. And one particular lady's name came to mind. And this gorgeous lady is the sister of one of our beautiful ladies that comes to this church. And she was in hospital for over a week. She has ovarian cancer. That's what the doctors are saying. We are declaring wholeness and healing to this body. We've declared it. I see her whole. I see her walking with Jesus. I see her winning the doctors and the nurses to Jesus in Jesus' name. I see it. I've seen it. And so we prayed. Just a simple prayer. There was no kicking demons out or anything like that. It was just a faith-filled, simple prayer because God hears. You know, you don't have to shout when you pray. He's not deaf. He can hear you. He can hear you. And then I got a text. Now, I'm just going to say it as it is. She needed surgery because her bowel was blocked for over a week. And the doctor said, if we don't do something, this will kill you. Anyway, I received a text to say there has been a bowel movement. Then I received another text to say there's been another one. I've never been so excited about poo in my life. That's not all. That's not all. The next through the whole night, it kept happening. You know, when the doctor saw her, he said, I had my knives sharpened. I can actually put them away. How good is God? You see, that is a story we need to record and tell. God is bigger. He is bigger than our situation. He is bigger than anything that we think there's no hope. Now I'm going to let you in on a little bit of my story. I walked in this morning and I had no strength in my legs. That's why I haven't been doing anything. I've been sitting here and my legs are shaking because I've had this, you know, what's going around, it sort of got me. But, gorgeous Carolina, she said, how are you feeling? This was first thing this morning. And I said, oh, I've got the shakes. Can't shake the shakes. Anybody else been there? And she just did what a God-loving woman does, grabbed me, embraced me, and prayed for me. I love people praying for me. Bring it on. I love it. And for those of you who are sitting here that aren't pastors yet, pray for your pastors. Pray for them. Pray for their families. We need it. And, you know, so I sat and Joe's been running the morning and I'm able to stand here to declare there are no shakes left in my body in Jesus' name. You see, he's faithful. He's faithful. I'll tell you quickly just another story because you see, we need to tell the stories. Why do we tell them? Is it about us? It's about encouragement. We tell the stories about encouragement. And I'm sure that if I asked each and every one of you to get up and share just briefly a story, you would be able to impact somebody else's life. you would be able to encourage them with something they're believing for. That was many, many, many years ago, and I used to sing on the worship team, and we went over to Vanuatu, and we were running, at the time it was called Luke 8 Ministries. It was a women's ministry, and it was just under a tin roof, but there were 5,000 women that came to this. And you know, they didn't come in cars like we do. They actually had to walk, some of them, for 8 hours to get there. And I got the worst sinus infection while I was over there. And I was in pain, just absolutely excruciating pain. Can I tell you, I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to go to the meeting that morning. I was in so much pain. I was not snotty, but I was in pain. My eyes were red. And I remember getting up that morning and going to my pastor and saying, I don't think I can come this morning. And he just looked at me with faith-filled eyes. And he said, honey, just get up and sing. Are you serious? I was expecting him to pray for me and say, go and have a rest. It's going to be okay. No, he said, honey, just get up and sing. He says, and when you open your mouth, that pain will leave you. Do you know that's exactly what happened? I learned a lesson that day, that regardless of how you feel, push beyond the emotions. Push beyond what your body is screaming. And know that your God is faithful. Know that you know that you're going to push beyond and someone else is going to be blessed and impacted by your life. And it's not even sometimes what you say. It's just how you carry yourself. Just being in Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, this is an exercise right now. If you've got a pen or something on, or I'd like you to, on the first page of your journal or on the back page, wherever it is that you'd like to write it, I want you to make a declaration right now in writing, something that you are believing God for. But I want you to write it like it's already done. Like you've already seen it come to pass, whatever that might be. Maybe you're believing for a healing. I want you to write it as though you are healed. If you're believing for a loved one to come to Christ, I want you to write it as though they are walking with Jesus and serving Him. If you have a marriage that's sitting very, very rocky and you think, I want to leave this marriage, I want you to write something about your marriage that is beautiful, and how much you love each other, and how great it's been over the years. Whatever it looks like for you, I want you to take pen to paper and make a declaration as though it's in the affirmative, as though it already is. You see, when Jesus spoke, He created. He didn't say, gee, there might be land and ocean. There was no doubt. He declared that there would be, that there was. And we need to write and declare like it is in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And when those things that you've believed for have come to pass, could you share it on our Aspire Women's page? Could you put it on there, what I believed for, and encourage us? Encourage us. Let us know when God has answered. And that is impacting and leaving a legacy in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, it's my great...